The boulevard debouched into the plaza surrounding the meeting pool. This, as we had clearly seen from above, was partitioned into four quadrants of equal size. In turn, it was enclosed by four glass-walled pavilions that curved around it like eyebrows.
"Check out the weather stripping on the doors," Yul remarked,
nodding at a pavilion entrance.
"Those things are aquariums."
And indeed, through the glass walls, we could see Phythosians, who were not equipped with nose tubes, speed-walking with documents or talking into their versions of Jijas. "They check their breathing gear at the door," Cord observed, and pointed to a rack just inside that heavily weather-stripped door where dozens of tank packs had been hung up. Jezri nudged me.
"Translators," he said,
and pointed to a windowed mezzanine above the main deck of the aquarium. A few Phythosian men and women, fiddling with headsets, sat at consoles that overlooked the pool. And as if to confirm this, Ernewdan stewards began to circulate through our delegation carrying trays of earbuds, red for Orth, blue for Fluckish. I stuffed a red one into my ear and heard in it the familiar tones of Jules Verne Durand. With a quick look around, I picked him out in the translator's booth atop the Lateran Pavilion.
"The command welcomes the Arbran delegation and requests that you gather at the water's edge for opening ceremonies," he was saying.
I got the impression from his tone of voice that he'd already said it 100 times. We had joined up with a part of the Arbran contingent that had arrived earlier to get things sorted before the stars, journalists, and space commandos showed up to make it complicated. Ayla was one of those. The Pangendrums and their aides had also preceded us and were waiting near the water's edge in an inflated polybubble the size of a housing module just off to our left as we emerged from the boulevard. Behind it was a clutter of equipment, including compressed air tanks that must have been brought up on the ship from Arb. So this was meant to be a makeshift pavilion, symbolically placing our Pangendrums on the same footing as the Geometer dignitaries. It was made of the same kind of milky poly sheeting that had covered the windows of my quarantine trailer at Tredegar. I could make out vague shapes of dark-suited figures around a table. I thought of them as doines, and others, servitors, hovering round the edges or darting in to handle documents. I spent a while watching Ayla run in and out of that tent, sometimes gazing off at the fake sky as she talked on a headset, other times peeling it off her head and holding her hand over the microphone as she talked to someone face to face. I was overcome by recollection of the time she and I had spent together that morning and could not think of much else. I thought that I was like a man lame in one leg who had learned to move about well enough that all awareness of his disability had passed out of his mind. And yet, when he tried to go on a journey, he kept finding himself back where he had started, since his weak leg made him go in circles. But if he found a partner who was weak in the other leg, and the two of them set out as companions... Cord goosed me. I nearly toppled into the water and she had to pull me back by my bolt.
"She's beautiful,"
she said before I could get huffy.
"Yeah, thanks. She most definitely is," I said.
"She's the one for me."
"Have you told her?"
"Yeah. Actually, telling her isn't the problem. You can ease up on me as far as telling her is concerned."
"Oh, good."
"The problem is all of these other circumstances."
"They are some pretty interesting circumstances."
"I'm sorry you got swept up in it like this. It's not what I wanted."
"But it was never about what you wanted," she said.
"Look, cuz, even if I croak, it was a good trade."
"How can you say that, Cord? What about—"
She shook her head, reached out, and put her fingertips to my lips.
"No,
stop. We are not discussing it." I took her hand between mine and held it for a moment.
"Okay," I said. "It's your life. I'll shut up."
"Don't just shut up. Believe it, cuz."
"Hey,"
called a gruff voice.
"What do you think you're doing holding hands with my girl?"
"Hey, Yul, what have you been up to since Ekba?"
"Time went by fast,"
he said, ambling closer and standing behind Cord, who leaned comfortably against him.
"We got a lot of free aircraft rides, saw the world, spent a lot of time answering questions. After 3 days, I laid down the law, said I wouldn't answer any question I had answered already. They took it hard, at first. Forced them to get organized. But after that, it was better for everyone. They put us up in a hotel in the capital."
"An actual hotel," Cord wanted me to understand. not a casino.
Days would go by with nothing. We'd go see museums,
Yule said.
Then all of a sudden they'd get excited and call us back in, and we'd spend a few hours trying to remember whether the buttons on the control panel were round or square.
They even hypnotized us, Cord said.
Then someone ratted us out to the media,
Yule said bleakly and cast a wary look round for the man with the spielicaptor.
Less said about that, the better.